Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. All about dogs, all the time, anytime. That's the credo of AKC.TV, the new venture from the American Kennel Club, now playing on Apple TV and Roku, and maybe soon to a smart TV set or TV handheld device near you. AKC Executive Secretary Gene DiNardo joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Once again this afternoon, we have a Tribeca Film Festival TV pilot to showcase. Tantalum is the name, and let's label the premise a case of It's a Wonderful Life Gone Bizarro. Hear all about it from creator writer director Clara Aronovich next half hour. Also ahead, Amazon gets a globe-hopping cocaine drama, Peabody's big scripted winners, and our new classic trivia segment winner, and what that person will win. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, and present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, proud development partner of the New York Television Festival, and the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Well, we're born on this Friday afternoon to the program All About Television. Delighted to have you here. 49 degrees and bright skies here in the Big Apple at the top of the hour. And we invite you to be part of the program. Good guests coming ready over the next hour, and it gets better when you are involved. Pick up the phone, raise your voice, and dial in at 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. Our chat room is open for business. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Our very good friend from Philadelphia, Rick Webb, already in the room. And while the phone is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen. Follow the instructions, other people can be live with you. American Kennel Club Executive Secretary Gina DiNardo will discuss AKC.TV here in the Big Apple after these news notes. Amazon has picked up U.S. rights to an ambitious drama series about the cocaine scene. 000, now in production, follows an empire of cocaine criminals based around the world. The series, from the creators of the international hit Gomorrah, will be filmed in English and 5 other languages, then debut on Amazon and other television services like Canal Plus and Sky next year. Netflix has scored a Peabody Awards double dip for its scripted series. American Vandal and Lemony Snicket, a series of unfortunate events, will take home 2 of the 2018 Peabodys, considered the Pulitzer Prize equivalent for media. Another award will go to Hasan Majid for his Netflix Homecoming King special. He will be hosting the Peabody Awards next month. Other honorees among the 30-member class include The Handmaid's Tale from Hulu, Better Call Saul from AMC, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon, and Insecure with Issa Rae from HBO. The Peabody Awards will be given out May 19th in New York. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me here live in the Big Apple, the Executive Secretary of the American Kennel Club, Gina DiNardo. Gina, great to have you with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Gina, what's been the early reaction to AKC.TV?
Well, people who know about the AKC are just loving it and thrilled that we have a new platform that will share with the general public all of the things that we do. We have a variety of programming on the network. We have live shows. We have program series planned that haven't launched yet, like Vet's Corner, where we're going to have a vet that you can call in and talk to, a trainer, a groomer. We have live shows. We have event coverage. So, the people in the sport are super thrilled that we're out and showing the public all the fun, cool things you can do with your dog. And the general public are finding us and just finding the videos that we are posting and creating to be very entertaining and informative. We have, you know, fun things and also educational content.
In the few weeks, Gina, that this service has been on the air, are you finding that the public watching has certain things that they like and even certain things that you might be surprised, or your organization might be surprised, that have been very successful?
So we're noticing and just starting to follow some of the analytics and noticing that we have a series called Canine Heroes, which is this really warm, special series about the canine-human bond and dogs that do heroic things for people. And then also we have a lot of interest in our agility championships and agility events and some of the other events that people don't know about, like barn hunt or dock diving. And people, those are really action-filled events, and people are enjoying watching them.
By the way, with some of these dog sports, is there like a major league, a professional league, or a national American league of these sports?
So, no, it's one of the few sports where amateurs and professionals compete across all, you know, levels. We have national championship events for all of our sports. We do have divisions, point divisions for earning titles and things, but it's just open to anyone and everyone, and amateurs and professionals compete against each other. You can find, we'll cover all of the big national championship events on AKC TV as the year goes on, so people can learn about them, things like, you know, field trials and agility and tracking and lure coursing. We have championships for all of those different events.
Gina, what you're doing is the latest example of a television service that is getting distributed on smart TV sets and smart TV connected devices like Roku and Apple TV. And right now the word is that nearly two-thirds of U.S. households have these sets and devices, and we're seeing networks like this pop up. How long had your organization thought about doing a service like this?
It came about really quickly. We started thinking about it in the middle of last year. You know, we work with a partner in creating this over-the-top network called BeLive Productions, and they have expertise in putting on live events and in this platform. And we've worked with them producing and creating our national championships that we live stream and put on television. So we noticed the trend, and so we modeled it after other successful OTT digital channels. And so AKC.TV, you can consume it on computers, on smart TVs, on mobile. We do already have an Apple TV and a Roku app. And then we're planning to expand to like Pluto, Amazon Fire, and Chromecast later this year. And it's just, you know, we're following the nationwide trend of consumers who are selecting streaming service over traditional cable, and we can provide all this really fun content that we can control, and it's proving to be a very successful venture.
Was there ever a thought of going to a broadcast network or getting distribution through cable operators or satellite operators or doing a multicast deal where you have networks that are carried both on broadcast and cable simultaneously through a digital
Yeah, we're working. You know, that's an option going forward. We do think that some of the content that we're creating for AKC TV might be interesting to networks, and we could certainly package it in for that. We will follow the opportunities where they lay, and I think, you know, the sky's the limit. Everybody loves dogs. Dogs are a really popular topic. You can watch them all day long. We have other new programming that we're, you know, our problem is we have so many ideas and not enough time to do them all. Like, we've only really been live for about 10 days. We were in a soft launch starting in February to kind of work through some technical stuff and the kinks, and did a couple of practice live shows. Once every other week, we do a live show. We plan to make that every week as we, you know, get going. But we've only really been talking about it to the world for about 9 days. And, for example, our National Agility Championship, we hadn't even publicized it yet, and we had almost 400,000 people watch it. So it's just crazy numbers very quickly, and we're super excited about that.
You're hearing Gina DiNardo. She is the executive secretary of the American Kennel Club, and they're the folks who are running AKC.TV. It's one of the newest television networks you can catch on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, plus tablets, plus computers, etc. And in the case of the smart TV devices, we're talking Roku and Apple TV, with more to follow. She joins us live here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised with a promo about television. Glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Simon Appleband with you live from New York here on Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you have a question or comment for Gina, don't be shy. 9. Ring it in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name, Griffin, or friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. 90th edition coming your way on Monday. And we'll kick it off with the person who is creating all the television that's happening here in New York at the Tribeca Film Festival. Her name is Lisa Dominic. And we'll also find out whether Tribeca will once again do a TV-specific festival later this year. And then, there's a brand new sport that's coming to ESPN later this year. It's called the American Cornhole League. Think people throwing bags into a hole. And you get points whether you put the bag in the hole or not. We're going to talk to the executive producer of the upcoming coverage, Greg Blykamp, and the play-by-play person, Trey Ryder. And finally, from the Beach House, the new Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation next weekend starring Andy McDowell and Hallmark Channel, executive producer Dan Wigertoe. That's all coming up Monday, 90-minute edition tomorrow be televised, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. Gina, when you put this network together with your colleagues and the outside production company, were there certain things, certain elements that you wanted to make sure that they were on off the bat?
Yeah, so we wanted to make sure that we had a lot of coverage about just specific breeds. So we pulled a lot of older content about every single breed that the AKC registers so that you can find out about, you know, purebred dogs right away. We wanted to put up some interesting educational information. So we already have topics and videos on things like health, nutrition, training, breeding. Things that the AKC is really good at, just educating people about how to be responsible dog owners. And then we wanted to have some fun content up there. So we have the live series. We have nice little vignettes about, how to make treats for your dogs, how to train your dogs. And then we have some really heartwarming series, like the Canine Heroes, which is about dogs and all the great services that they provide for mankind. So we wanted to have a nice mix when we launched. So because we really just want to be 24-hour entertaining dog content. And so like any network where you're going to have to program your entire day, we want to have different types of series that will appeal to different people. And it's proving to be good. We had a lot of content that we used to host like on YouTube or on our own website. And so we pulled all of that together, and that helped us launch AKC TV really quickly. As I was saying earlier, we got the idea in like September or October, and we soft launched the first week of February. So we hit the ground running, and we plan to add new content weekly.
Is all the programming available 24/7, or do you format the programming on the network so that certain shows happen or are played at certain times?
So we have a live feed that's going 24/7, and so if you open up AKC.TV on the website, or if you go to Roku and you turn it on, that live window is up. And there's always content in there. If you don't want to watch what's going on in that live feed, you can scroll through all the other archive videos, and you can find there are organized by series, by breeds, by events, and by topics. And so you can find everything else that lives on AKC.TV and just watch it on demand.
How did BeLive get to be the production company working with your organization on this? Did you look at other production companies and they were like the best around? And also, did they come up with production ideas for series or specials, or did you and your group brainstorm everything and then bring it to BeLive and said, okay, make it?
Right. So we've been working with BeLive for about 4 years. They produce, direct, create our AKC National Championship Dog Show. It's presented by Royal Canin, and we do that annually in Orlando. And so we've had a really good working relationship with them, and we knew that BeLive, they're the experts in this kind of live content. They do these kind of websites for like all of the big fashion houses in the world, and they shoot all these live fashion shows, and they have just great experience in live, and because we worked well with them and knew that they could do this with us, we Russell Kwai, who is the owner and the CEO of that company, and he's a brilliant man with years and years of experience in television, he came up with the idea of how we could host it and what AKC TV would look like. And now we have teams that are made up of AKC employees and Be Live employees. And we meet and regularly to just do – we have an editorial team. We have an advertising team. We have a whole team that just works on the live show. So we're constantly meeting with different people, the relevant key players in each of those things, and it's a real team effort. It's across both organizations.
Is the live programming scheduled just in prime time, or do you try to space it out throughout the day?
So the live show, where there's just one, AKC Live, it is just at 4 o'clock on Wednesdays at the moment, and it is every other Wednesday. And we plan to have it be every Wednesday. And then we're going to track it and see, play around with the time slots and see where most people want to tune in. After it airs live, we post it up on the main homepage, and you can find it like any other series and just watch it over and over again. Or if you missed the live one, you can just watch it on demand.
How did Roku and Apple TV get to be the first TV-connected device the smart TV sets to take the service?
So we let Be Live take the lead on that in terms of the development of the apps and where they thought, the most viewership we could get very quickly. We knew that Roku was, really widely used, and we probably have more followers right now on Roku than Apple TV. I think it also had something to do with the ease of creation of the app. But we were pleasantly surprised both times. We had anticipated a much longer time, lead time, in getting approval, and like right away they were approved. So we were able to launch them even a little sooner than we had in our original timeline.
And what are you hearing from them about getting the other TV connected devices, Amazon Fire TV, which, by the way, is not just a connected device, it's also built into smart TV sets as an operating system, and it's going to be offered,
right.
As you may have heard, Best Buy's going to be offering TV sets with Amazon Fire included this summer from Toshiba and other manufacturers, including Best Buy's own Insignia model, Chromecast. And what about the smart TV sets themselves, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Panasonic, etc. Have they contacted your organization about taking the service?
Well, we have a plan to reach out to them. As I said, we've only been around for about 9 days, but we do think that this would be a perfect channel for them to have, and we plan to reach out to any and all of them and see, the opportunity exists.
Mm-hmm. Because you cover these unique dog competitions, and for many people, this is going to be their first exposure to them. Have you prepared special content that showcases, like, here's what this competition is all about, here's the rules, here's what to look for?
Yeah, so in each of the event topics, we have little videos that you can find on AKC TV that tell you about what the event is or how it's judged or, little helpers so that as you watch, you learn about the sport. Also, in all of the coverage that we have, we do have expert voice, either voiceover or we have expert play-by-play that is there to help educate people about what's going on and give them some sense of what they're watching. And hopefully as people watch them, they will learn about the sports and they'll tune in and, maybe even get involved, because I think most people think of AKC as just dog shows, like confirmation dog shows, and we have over 30 other kinds of event types. And so there are so many fun things you can do with your dogs, and this, I think, is a gateway for people who are interested in that to see how the experts do it and to figure out how to learn to do it themselves.
How big is your organization in terms of outreach, and how have you been getting the word out, not just to your membership, but the public at large, about the existence of the network?
Well, AKC has a huge following on its own website and on our own Facebook page. We have about 7 million unique people who visit the website on a monthly basis, and we have, I can't remember the number, 4 or 5 million, maybe even more, likes on Facebook. So we've been using those two main channels to get the word out. We do have an upcoming, an advertising campaign planned. We have a great PR and communications team that is working, from that end to let people know about it. And as we go along, we're hoping that we'll be able to, you know, do some digital advertising about the network and take it from there. This is a long-term venture, you know. We're going to grow. We're going to grow, you know, at whatever pace we do. And I think it's a little bit faster already than we anticipated because, you know, there's over 80 million households in America with dogs. And there should be something on AKC TV for anyone who loves a dog.
Does the program run commercial-free, or if it does run commercials, what's been the reaction in terms of getting ad support?
So at the moment, it runs commercial-free. There is plenty of opportunity for advertising, both within placement, you know, lead-in advertising. There's opportunities to have featured series. You could, advertisers can brand entire, you know, like content platforms like, or specific series like training. And then we just have our, you know, our endemic sponsorships or people, the companies that already sponsor our events, like Royal Canin, like Purina, those kind of big dog food companies. And they are all very interested and excited about this additional way to share, you know, their messaging with the general public.
Have you heard from some of the national chains or companies like PetSmart or Petco in terms of involvement in some capacity?
Well, I don't know specifically about those two. I know we already have some relationships with them, and that some programs like AKC's Canine Good Citizen program is in PetSmart and Petco. But I don't know specifically if they have been spoken to or we spoke to them yet about AKC TV. But if they don't know about it, they will shortly.
AKC.TV is playing right now on Roku and Apple TV, and soon we hope to other smart TV devices and smart TV sets around the country. We've got Gina DiNardo. She's the executive secretary of the American Kennel Club, the organization putting the forming service on, also available, by the way, on PCs and tablets and mobile devices, too. She joins us live here in New York this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum, who we live from the Big Apple, along the way here on Blog Talk Radio and the iRadio Podcast Network. Thanks for coming aboard. If a question or comment for Gina, got a few more minutes with her, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our second half hour, we've got a new winner for our Classic Trivia segment. We'll tell you who that winner is, the prize that person is getting, and the answer to that question that we posed at the top of the week. And also, we will have our second pilot of the week that's being showcased at the Rebecca Film Festival next Monday. It's called Tantalum. Think of it as It's a Wonderful Life in a crazy sort of way. The creator, writer, and director, Clara Aronovich, will join us. That's next half hour. She'll be here in New York with us right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Have your organization or BeLive heard from outside producers who would like to create shows for the channel?
Yes, we have. We've actually had, we get contacted by them quite frequently lately with story ideas. They want to help support the channel. They want to, they're pitching us ideas that they'd like to produce. We also have tons of, you know, agencies sending us, you know, items that they'd like us to cover on AKC Live. They're pitching us story ideas, segment ideas. So there's a lot of interest in the network already, and we're super excited about it.
I'm sure you and your club members know that the history of television is lined with all sorts of heroic dogs in scripted form. Lassie, Rin Tin Tin, The Littlest Hobo up in Canada, which did have some U.S. play some time back, Run Joe Run, et cetera, et cetera. Is scripted programming a possibility for down the road?
Oh, absolutely. We already have launched a documentary. We're going to do documentaries about all the different breeds. The Labrador Retriever documentary we launched a few weeks ago. We're getting ready to launch an Afghan Hound documentary. And we plan to, you know, do human interest dog kind of related stories and lots of scripted content. We look forward to exploring all of those things as we grow out the company. We're going to make it into a real full-fledged network. At the moment, you know, we don't have employees in the AKC umbrella that are dedicated just to AKC TV, except for one. But we have a plan to do that as we grow.
So I'm sure that's going to provoke maybe some people who like to see a dog comedy or dog drama or dog adventure or whatever to or family dog situation. By the way, as you go forward, would you look at programming that showcases not just dogs' relationships with families or family members, but with other animals, dogs and cats, dogs with you know, how they live and exist with other members of the animal kingdom?
Absolutely, especially like we have a lot of great examples of how dogs that work with horses, dogs that live out in the fields with sheep, you know, a lot of dogs were bred purposefully to do things like guard property and livestock. And so we already have some great footage of animals and the bond that they create with those kind of other species that they watch over, and definitely can see going down the road some programming that just explores that relationship more in depth.
The name of the service is AKC.TV. It is currently available on Apple TV and Roku 24/7. Soon will be on Chromecast and on Amazon Fire TV, both Amazon as a set-top box venture, but also the Amazon Fire TV operating system in sets from Toshiba, Westinghouse, other places, some of which will be offered starting this summer at Best Buy stores all over the country. If you want to know more about the venture, we have two websites for you can find out. One is akc.tv, and the other is akc.org. That is the website of the organizers venture, the American Kennel Club. So it's akc.tv for the service, and for the service and the parent organization, akc.org. Gene Inardo, the Executive Secretary of the American Kennel Club, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on getting this project lift off, and hopefully it's the beginning of what could be a very exciting venture for television, for viewers all over the place, whether or not they're into dogs, something for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome, Gina. Pleasure. And come back soon, hopefully with more great stuff. And have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Gina DiNardo, Executive Secretary of the American Kennel Club, joining me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. More coming up shortly, but first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. One of the more unique audiobooks that's now available these days comes from a unique duo, Tyra Banks and her mother, Carolyn London. It's called Perfect is Boring, and it shows that you have to be perfect to live a great life. And you can now get that audiobook if you subscribe to Audible.com. And all you have to do to get that audiobook or one of your choice and a one-month trial, just go to audibletrial.com/televised. If you know what Audible.com is, it's very simple. They are the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information inspiration, too. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing this on right now at Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. All you have to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, 1 month trial, and because Audible is owned by Amazon.com, you get great customer service up and down the line. So hear for yourself why these days listening is the new reading, and Audible.com is the place that wants to transform the way you hear the world. Remember, for that one free audiobook, 1 month trial, audibletrial.com/televised. This is Tomorrow Be Televised. We are the program all about the two, with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, around Wednesday as well this week. Sometimes we do a 3-episode week. We try to do that once a month. And we're glad to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. We come your way live on Blog Talk Radio or from the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. If you want to catch up on previous episodes, you go to iHeartRadio.com, put Tomorrow Be Televised in the search bar, click, and you're there. Also, you can check us out on podcast at iTunes.com and Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. And if you'd like to say something to our next guest in the half hour ahead, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial in 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Once again, that number is good anywhere you are checking us out, on Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio. And we've got our chat room going. SimonApple04 by name. So if you're trying to use the phone, no problem. Put it in the chat room. SimonApple04 by name. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And Rick Weber, friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. Coming up for our next half hour, our new classic trivia question winner, the correct answer that person provided, and what that person is going to win. And we'll tell you about the special prize we're offering starting on Monday. But first, we will have another one of the TV pilot makers that will be showcased this Monday night here in New York at the Tribeca Film Festival. Her name is Clara Aronovich, and she has a very unique take on the classic movie It's a Wonderful Life. It's called Tantalus. You will hear her after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com for the 25 million listeners around the world and growing. It's your home for What's the Buzz and Why. Check out comedian Lance Bardo with comedy, music, lots of fun, and guests too. What's the Buzz and Why. Every week, various times, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best speech are available to you 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow's Televised this Friday afternoon of April 2018. Hope wherever you are, you're doing great. Simon Applebaum with you live from the Big Apple here on Blog Talk Radio and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. 49 degrees at the top of the hour. Another great guest coming up. So if you just joined us, give us a call. Be part of the program. All About the 2-646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On our special episode 48 hours ago, we highlighted one of the five pilots that are be happening on Monday at the New York Television Festival. It was called Nice, and we had Naomi Coe, the 20-something Korean-American who has breast cancer, who put that pilot together. Well, we now have a second pilot maker who will be showcased on Monday. She is doing a program called Tantalum, and she has a major production company, Adaptive Studios, involved with it. Joining me here in New York, the creator, writer, and director of this potential TV series, Clara Aronovich. Hi, Clara.
Hey, how's it going?
Very, very fine, thank you. How long has Tantalum been in the works for?
Oh, my goodness. Well, originally it was conceived as a short story, and I think I wrote the original short story about 2 or 3 years ago, which is kind of hard to believe. And then Adaptive and I had our first meeting about a year ago this January, and we shot it in November, and we're premiering it now.
We'll talk more about the making of the pilot first, but when I read the premise, the first thing that came to mind, Clara, was It's a Wonderful Life Gone Awry. And to sort of explain that metaphor, It's a Wonderful Life, the classic movie with Jimmy Stewart as George Bailey, the person who wanted to accomplish so many things in life, couldn't do it, but along the way, he really impacted a great deal of the town he was in. And at some point, because of low points in his life, he thinks about committing suicide. He goes to a bridge, and as he's jumping off into the water, he meets a guardian angel that saves him. And in your show, you sort of have the main character go through the same premise, except the person he meets when about to take a life is not really the guardian angel.
Yeah, I never thought of it like that. That's really funny now that you mention it. And mine's definitely a darker take on that premise.
Was the film an inspiration in some way?
No, actually. And I confess that I'm somewhat guilty of forgetting premises of sometimes even my most favorite films, I think, because I'm just watching so many of them a week. And I'd forgotten that that Jimmy Stewart goes to a bridge. That's so crazy. I should probably rewatch it.
So, Clara, what was the inspiration? How did you come up with the idea?
Well, what originated the short story was a hope of making an omnibus of short films somewhat like Kieślowski's Decalogue. And I knew that I wanted them each to be named for an element on the periodic table. And I love research and I love etymology. And so when I started doing research on the names of several of the elements, tantalum is the one that really caught my eye and kind of gave me a little bit of a creative spark. And it has the same etymology as the word tantalize, which is from the Greek myth of King Tantalus, who is a character who is banished to eternity with hunger and thirst in a pool of water and with fruit tree branches above his head. And every time he would reach down to take a sip of water or reach up to grab a piece of fruit, the water would recede and the branches would retreat. So it's an incredible form of torture, and it made me ask myself, you know, what would a character who seemingly has everything just at his fingertips but feels he has nothing look like in today's world? And that's what begat the character Colton, the lead in season one of Tantalum. And then what happens with Evie, the other character, was inspired by cordyceps fungus, which is a crazy fungus that exists in real life that if you Google zombie ants, which is the dumbest thing, but if that's what you Google, you'll pull up several nature show clips about this fungus that takes over an ant's body, and other arthropods, but specifically ants in general. And it causes the ant to drop everything it's doing, and it becomes obsessed with getting somewhere very high up. And then eventually the fungus grows out of its carcass. And I asked myself then, what would it look like if that started happening to humans? So those are the two things that converged and inspired what you can watch the pilot of at the festival.
How long did it take to go from having this be a short story, an idea, to a concept, to a television pilot? Was there a writer block along the way? Was there some a barrier that you had to cross in terms of going from point A to what we're going to see Monday night?
Well, I mean, it wasn't super linear. I'd say the biggest block wasn't necessarily a creative one, but rather one of logistics or finances even, because it, you know, obviously films take resources and take money to get made, and I knew that because it has this elevated sci-fi conceit, it wasn't something that I could just shoot on, you know, a 5D. It was something that I wanted to have support for, and that led me to apply to various programs over the course of a couple of years, and a lot of those programs were skewed more towards the web series space, and so then I was inspired to see if the concept could be expanded, and I felt it actually could be expanded really nicely into a web series. So then it shifted in its own skin a bit, and then it wasn't until and then I put it down, to be honest, because I just didn't know where its home was. And then hilariously, my now ex-manager and ex-agent, when they asked me, okay, do you have any web series ideas, I pitched them this one, and they didn't think it was viable. They thought it was too weird. So shout out to anybody whose ideas are considered too weird by by financiers and by reps, because eventually I landed in this seat at Adaptive at just a general meeting, and they said, do you have any web series ideas? And I said, actually, yeah, I have this one. It's kind of weird. And I pitched it, and they were obsessed with it and were like, yes, let's make it, and immediately. So the blocks, like I said, they weren't so much internal as much as external, which is, you know, often the case for a lot of, you know, younger filmmakers who are just, like, looking for partners who are willing to take that leap with them.
What's interesting about your case, Clara, is that compared to Karen, Naomi Coe was on our show Wednesday with Knife, and maybe the other pilots are going to be showcased Monday night here in New York at Tribeca, you may be the only one that has a production company working with you. In this case, Adaptive. And for those who don't know what Adaptive is, it's a fast-rising company in terms of TV production, digital production, and so forth. In fact, earlier this week, they made news by acquiring the literary estate of the great Western writer Zane Grey. Those of you who know your television know the 1950s, one of the most popular Western series around was Dick Powell's Zane Grey Theater, produced by Four Star, which was Dick Powell's production company, ran 5 seasons, started out adapting the work of Zane Grey, the writer of such classics in Western lore as Riders of the Purple Sage. Then later, when they ran out of material, decided to do all original scripted shows. So, you know, you're playing with a company that's really fast rising in the world of television.
Yeah, I feel really fortunate to have met them when I did. Adaptive has been expanding really rapidly, and they have a really interesting model. They are filmmaker forward, and, you know, they're willing to take risks and want to finance the things that they feel they haven't seen, which often means that they're a home for more marginalized voices. There's a lot of people of color and female filmmakers whom they've partnered with, and it's a really cool family to be a part of.
Pendulum is one of 5 TV series pilot hopefuls that will be showcased this coming Monday night here in New York as part of the Tribeca Film Fest. We're taking place at the Cinepolis Chelsea Theater, which is on 23rd Street near the corner of 8th Avenue. And you're listening to one of the pilot makers. She is Clara Aaronovitz, the executive producer, creator, writer, and director of Tantalum. As I like to say, it's a wonderful life, gone a little crazy. And that was, as I said, one of the 5 pilots being shown. She joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Atwell with you live from New York. Glad you're with us, whether you're catching us on Blog Talk Radio or on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. And if you have a question or comment for Clara, don't be shy. Be part of the conversation. We want to hear you. So ring in 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, already in the room. Monday on Smart Retail Live, 90-minute edition of our program coming your way, we will have the programmer who put together the entire TV lineup of Tribeca this year. Her late name is Lisa Dominic. She also may put together the second annual Tribeca TV-specific festival later this year. We'll talk to her about that. Then, from ESPN's upcoming coverage of the American Cornhole League, I'm not making that up, executive producer Greg Whitecamp and the play-by-play person of this new sport, Trey Ryder. And from Andy McDowell's new original movie, the Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation, The Beach House, coming next weekend on Hallmark Channel, executive producer Dan Wicato. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New York City, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Explain, Clara, the plot, how it goes from A to Z.
Of the pilot or of the entire season?
The pilot, and then how it would, and then if you go to series, how it evolved.
Well, the pilot itself, obviously, it has a couple of jobs. It's meant to stand on its own, but it's also meant to set you up for the rest of the season and kind of whet the appetite. So what it does is introduce us to Colton Mitchell Jr., this biotech millionaire, self-made man in Detroit, in what we eventually realize is his final night on Earth, that he's made a decision that he wants to take his own life. And we watch him ready his apartment, and we can sense that he leads a really lonely life. And he walks out to a bridge, and while he's in the process of doing that, he gets recognized. So then we realize that he's a pretty well-known figure in his hometown of Detroit. And so he leaves town on foot, and he gets to a bridge, and just as he's about to jump, he's stopped by an older white woman who happens to be further up on the bridge than he is. And he tells her not to jump. She tells him not to jump. There's like an actual slight moment of hopefully some dry comedy. And she says that she's just there to take in the view. And at that point, he realizes, I've got to get this woman back to safety. And she wants to get to the bottom of why this man, who seemingly has everything, wants to kill himself. So they talk a bit. She tries to, you know, lead the rest of her night in peace. And he thinks there's clearly something wrong with her. And because he comes from a medicine background, he's like, I can't just let this lady go off into the night alone. So he decides to get her to safety. But just as we are about to cut to black, she falls because she's kind of acting erratic. And we see that there's this odd lump growing out of her stomach. And then we go to credits. So that's what the entire first episode is comprised of, all of that. And then for the season, we just kind of, it's more of like a kind of dark tonal character drama about two unlikely people who come together. But then in the background, we start to realize that there's this kind of sci-fi conceit, this supernatural or strange thing happening to Evie, the older woman. And that thing ends up taking a major toll on both of them. And the way that the series could expand is something that I'm excited to talk more about down the road once we find a home for Tantalum. But I have some fun ideas for it.
Who plays the two unlikely people, and how did you cast them? How did you find them?
Well, we got very lucky. We cast two extraordinary people. The lead character, Colton, is played by Marcus Henderson, whom most people know from Get Out. He plays Walter, the groundkeeper. And he, we went directly to him, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, we have, yes, okay. So he went to Yale School of Drama, I'm realizing, and we have a few mutual friends. So knowing that we were, an independently financed web series, agents were probably not going to pay close attention to the project. We didn't have a lot of money to offer. It was a passion project, as is often the case. And so I made a direct appeal to Marcus and sent him the script, and fortunately he resonated with it and wanted to be a part of it. Whereas Susan Deming plays Evie Wojcik, the other lead, and she's a relatively unknown figure, and she gave one of the most extraordinary auditions I've ever seen on tape. It was truly, truly remarkable, and she actually beat out some really spectacular actresses whom I admire very greatly. But Susan just submitted tape to her casting director, Michael Beaudry, and won the part fair and square. And yeah, they ended up being a great, great pair to watch and work with together.
With Adaptive Studios working with you, what kind of coaching or mentoring did they give you in terms of how to write this, how to direct this, where to produce it, film it, and things like that?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, they're pretty filmmaker forward, and they kind of want to get out of the way whenever possible. So when it came specifically to realizing it, to the direction itself, they were pretty hands-off. They had a lot of trust in me, for which I'm super grateful. They were excited about my idea to film it in Detroit, partially because one of their creative executives is from Michigan, but also because they resonated with my desire to shoot outside of Los Angeles or New York. I'm based in L.A. Adaptive is based in L.A., and we're all kind of fatigued. We have, like, L.A. fatigue in watching L.A. in movies, and especially L.A. pretending it's another city. But then when it came to writing, you know, they, of course, gave notes. They helped me develop the script a bit, but we moved very quickly through scripting. So it wasn't terribly exhaustive, but I'd already done a lot of the development work on my own before we even got to the point of signing a contract. But they, you know, throughout the edit, they played, you know, the consummate role of financier and producer. They gave notes and feedback and listened to my thoughts and concerns and were available when needed, but when I needed space, they gave me that as well.
As director of this, what approach did you take? What kind of style did you want to bring out in this effort?
Well, I really love kind of slower contemplative filmmaking, and I like the technical aspect of my job so much, if not sometimes more than the artistic aspect. So I wanted to really push myself and push my crew and my cinematographer especially to commit to some more complicated, in-depth camera moves. So I ended up, I took several meetings with different DPs before landing on Jack Caswell, who did a really beautiful job on this piece. And in each meeting, I made super clear, like, what the vision was. And the vision was to, in the vein of, like Kurosawa's High and Low is a great example. Like, I wanted to shoot a lot of the scenes in oneers. I wanted to play on the Z-axis a lot. I wanted to use a frame and then repermutate it and shift where the characters were and the camera was to make us really feel as if we were in the space with them. And, like, the camera was kind of this ghost that was following Colton around. And that felt, it was aligned with kind of the themes of the piece, especially Colton having, you know, mental health issues and him feeling like he can't shake them, so the camera kind of feels like that thing he can't shake. But it also works with me just creatively. I don't like, you know, just don't approaching a scene being like, okay, we're going to get, you know, wide, two shot, over. You know, I find that very boring. And sometimes the scene calls for that. I just don't think it's as often as people think. So the overall ethos was to ask myself, like, what does this scene want? And what is the language of the overall piece? And how can we marry those two things in a way that's not, you know, crazy camera stuff for crazy camera stuff's sake, but still subtle and innovative and you know, unique.
When did you learn, Clara, that Tribeca wants you and that you'll be here Monday night?
Say again?
When did you learn that Tribeca picked your pilot to be part of their showcase?
Goodness, when did we learn? I think about a month and a half ago, if not 2 months ago, and we were all obviously super stoked to be here.
Clara Novich is our guest this hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. She is the creator, writer, director of Tantalum, a potential TV series pilot that's going to be one of five showcases this coming Monday night as part of the Tribeca Film Festival. Simon Appledown with you live from New York. Happy you're aboard on this Friday afternoon of April 2018 for the program All About Television. A few more minutes with Clara, and we got a cross survey question, new winner coming up shortly. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04. Remember, you can check us out anytime you like at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we're on this podcast on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, iHeartRadio.com, on Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, and on iTunes itself. If you don't have Apple TV, go to Apple Store and review, order it online. Well, we're about 72 hours away from you and the other four pilots getting showcased here in New York at Tribeca. Are the goosebumps starting to happen?
Not quite yet. I think I've done an effective job of pretending that's not coming down the pike. just because, you know, you focus for so long on just making the thing the least shitty version of itself that when you finally realize that that's no longer the primary concern and you start to come to terms with the reality that other people are going to see it, and now you just have to hope that the work paid off. It's a bit overwhelming. So I don't think it's honestly going to hit me until my butt's in that seat, you know, next to my peers and collaborators.
Ideally, what network or what service would you like to see this series play on?
Oh, man, that's a great question. What's crazy is how rapidly things are changing in the digital space and in the serialized space. I know a lot of big players like Hulu, for example, are getting into shorter form serialized, and I think that Amazon is as well. So I really can't say. I think that at this point we would just be fortunate to have anyone stoked on it. That's where my heart's at. I just want it to make people, you know, be available to people who want to see it, and where that is of slightly less interest to me at this point.
You mentioned earlier that you had thought about doing an anthology approach to this effort. Is that still on the card? Let's say whether or not this particular series happens, would you like to do an anthology that would be in a certain genre or a certain style?
I think so, yeah. I'm still partial to the idea of a group of shorts, like, all inspired by the etymology of different elements on the periodic table. If I were to do that, I would still want to go with my original concept of having them all be somewhat surreal or some sort of off in a way. I like worlds that are, you know, just ever so slightly elevated, or that feel real but that feel like something is just not quite right. But whether or not, you know, there's time for that and whether or not there's an opportunity for that is very much out of my control. So, you know, for now I think we want to see if we can expand Tantalum and bring it to a wider audience, and then if there's room down the line for a group of shorts, that'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm. No matter what happens with Tantalum, are you looking at doing another pilot or doing more work with Adaptive?
I'd love to, yeah. We have been talking about another long-form project together. So we'll see. That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. And any advice for people who want to do pilots, who want to be in your shoes and maybe get a TV series off the ground through an event like Tribeca or through any of the television festivals going on, like New York, like Series Fest in Denver?
You know, I confess that I never really saw myself in serialized when I was growing up. You know, like most people here, like, I dream in features, and that's where my head was at. So my main bit of advice would be to invite people who were kind of highbrow or looking down their nose at serialized forms, that they expand their horizons a bit and just make sure that they're open, because you just never know where, especially now, with the proliferation of, you know, first-camera cameras and with the internet being what it is and with internet purveyors of films being what it is, what they are, you know, where your opportunities are going to come from. So for me, one of the greatest lessons has been to just realize that there's cinema in everything, potentially. You just have to bring it to that format.
And tonight, before we go, are there any plans to show Tantalum at any of the TV festivals coming up, like Series Fest, like festivals happening like ATX in Austin, Texas, coming up soon, or the New York Television Festival this summer?
I know that we're in conversation for some of those things, but as of right now, I don't know, or I couldn't say. But hopefully, and just, you know, stay tuned, track us, and hopefully you'll find out soon.
And for sure, we will find out here in New York what Tantalum is all about. This will be one of five TV series pilots we showcase at Pilot Seasons, a special event happening Monday night, 6:45 p.m. local time at the Tribeca Film Festival, taking place at the Center Polis Chelsea Theater at the West 23rd Street in Manhattan, right near 8th Avenue. And if you want more details about not only Pilot's pilots, but the other four pilots making up this special presentation, here's where you go online, www.tribecafilm.com. That's www.tribecafilm.com. And if you want to hear our interview that we did on Wednesday with Emily Coe from Nice, one of the other pilots, go to our homepage, blogtribeca.com/televised, iTunes, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. Sarah Novich, the creator, writer, executive producer, and director of Tantalum. Thank you again for joining us. Good luck with the event on Monday. Hopefully a series to come down the road, and we appreciate you being aboard.
Thank you so much for having me and for giving us a platform to chat about Sandstorm. It's so exciting to be here.
You're very welcome. By the way, I'm looking forward to seeing all the pilots on Monday night. So look forward to seeing you and everybody else in person. Take care. Have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Carly Rovich from Tantalum joining us live here in New York. By the way, thank you to Adaptive Studios for arranging the interview. And I talked with the publicist for that company and suggested that maybe Dick Powell's Zane Grey Theater might be revived. Now they got the Zane Grey estate rights. Maybe it might be time to bring that series back for a whole new audience. And if you want to see the original Dick Powell's Zane Grey Theater, you can see selected episodes on YouTube. And now it's time for our Quack Street Question of the Week, and we have a brand new winner who got the correct answer. It's Mason Radcliffe from Dunster, North Dakota. He also lives part-time in the year in Canada. He's our first winner on both sides of the border, if you will, between U.S. and Canada. And again, Mason got the correct answer to this question. Name two TV series, other than Staying Elsewhere, with theme music by Dave Grusin. His answer is Good Times and The Sandy Duncan Show. First season was Funny Face. That latter series ran two seasons on CBS. And by the way, some other possible titles you could use for correct answers: The Name of the Game, The Bull One, Dan August, It Takes a Thief, Maud, and yes, even One Life to Live in the Daytime. That's some of the great work of Dave Grusin, and you can hear that great work and see it too. He's still with us, by the way, on Planet Earth at YouTube. So once again, congratulations to Mason Radcliffe of Dunseith, North Dakota, and for those correct answers, he will win Stealing the Show by Joy Press, Many Worlds of Krypton from DC Comics, and You Play the Girl by our wonderful guest from last Friday, Karina Cacciano. So that's all coming your way, Mason. Enjoy. Thank you for playing. We really do appreciate you, and keep listening. And on Monday, we have our next Classic Trivia Question of the Week. Our prize will be the DVD of the National Geographic documentary film, one of the acclaimed movies of last year, Jane, with original score by Philip Glass. That's what we're going to offer as our prize next week. So join us Monday, 3 p.m. New Pacific, for our next Classic Trivia Question of the Week. If you have the correct answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. And don't forget, like Mason did, to enclose your name and your full mailing address. And if you're first, you win. But remember, in order to win, you got to be in. So do so. And all the very best. And if you missed the question on Monday, don't worry. We will post it on Tuesday morning on Facebook and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. Thank you to all of our guests for being here today and also all week long. And thank you, of course, for listening. We are back on Monday, and when we do, we will have the person responsible for all the television activity at the American Film Festival, Lisa Domnitz. Also, from ESPN's upcoming coverage of the American Cornhole League, executive producer Greg Whitecamp and play-by-play person Trey Ryder. And from the Beach House, the new Hallmark Hall of Fame presentation with Andy McDowell on Hallmark Channel next weekend, executive producer Dan Wigerto. It's all coming your way, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, 90th edition of the program All About Television, right here on Blog Talk Radio. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up an episode you missed, www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out the podcast on iTunes.com, Apple TV's iTunes podcast app, and iHeartRadio.com. And remember, we love hearing from you, so email us. Also, try us on Facebook and on Twitter. Either way, we appreciate what you have to say, because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants. Now, through those Blog Talk Radio, our associate production associate is Candace Williams, AITO's Blog Talk Radio's general manager, Jay Sosberg is executive content producer, and the co-founders of BTR, Alan Levy and Bob Charish. And by the way, the views expressed also are not necessarily those of iHeartRadio, too. Tomorrow We Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, an Amazon company and private development partner of the New York Television Festival. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For Tomorrow We Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic weekend. Make it a great and safe one. We're back on Monday, 90-minute edition, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.